This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We get back to college hoops in just one moment, but there was a lot going on over the weekend with Deion Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, and everything surrounding the Colorado Pro Day on Friday. So welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So again, we'll get back to the college hoops in a second, but dissecting everything that happened this weekend, Pearl, there's quite a bit here. So let's try to take it kind of like line by line, if you will.
Good luck. Good luck when it comes to this situation.
This is what being a professional broadcaster is all about. And I promise I'm going to miss some stuff. Okay, the first thing, top line, is that both Shedeur and Travis knocked it out of the park in their pro days. So that's kind of like the headliner here, which you should knock it out of the park in your pro day. But Shedeur completed 62 of 67 passes. Oh, there were supposedly three drops. Okay, you don't want any.
Oh, God. You said professional broadcaster. You just read pro day stats.
Okay,
so
well, Hunter caught 15 passes from Shedeur. I'm doing everything here. I'm going line by line.
God. What yards per catch?
I don't have the yak. I don't have the yards after catch. I don't have air yards. I don't have ADOTs. I don't have any.
I thought you were putting in the work.
I'm not.
Oh, this top speed on the slant?
Yeah, 100 miles an hour. your guess is as good as mine. Okay, so that was just the Shedeur stats aspect of it all, and they both did very, very well. There was drama though at the pro day, and that was Deion Sanders calling out a Denver Broncos scout who was trying to line guys up in a certain way, and Deion didn't like that. So let's hear a little of Deion telling Colorado players to ignore this NFL scout's instructions on the pro day.
1, 2. You're supposed to get the white.
Y'all start. How y'all get started? This man here. What y'all think?
All right? We get all the white.
Do what y'all do.
Okay. Notable because, A, Deion doesn't curse in public generally. This was him mic'd up. And him kind of going after and kind of not going after, but clearly telling the scout who's in charge of this workout. It's not you, it's me, and I'm going to tell guys to ignore you.
Yeah, it's clearly significant because that's a preview of next year when Deion's son is playing in the NFL and you're a head coach and you are going to hear from Deion.
Yes, probably. Well, it depends. I don't know. If Deion likes what he sees, then maybe you won't hear
from him. I think that is the key issue of Shedeur, but go ahead.
Okay, so we'll get into that a little bit as well. So you had Shedeur and Travis Hunter did well at the pro day. Deion got upset at a Colorado, Denver Broncos. So in your backyard, a Denver Broncos scout who tried to tell the guys where to line up. And then you got this from Jeff, two things. One, Jim Wyatt, who's a reporter in Tennessee, reporting that Shedeur Sanders and the Titans kind of mutually agreed not to do a private workout.
Yeah.
So clearly now we're very much leaning into Cam Ward being the number one overall pick. Apparently the Browns and the Giants, the New York Giants, did inquire about the number one overall pick. They've been turned down. No one even knows what the compensation would be. So like they're not far down the road on this, according to the reporting. Okay, so Shedeur is not going to have a private workout with the Titans. Then we get from Jeff Howe, who's a national NFL writer for The Athletic, that the league believes the Browns are leaning towards Travis Hunter. And then it's a guessing game of what the Giants will do, Perloff, between Abdul Carter and Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, great. Right. Although it does seem like the tea leaves say they'll take whoever falls out of Carter and Hunter. Isn't that what most reporters are saying? Kind of that's what we have right now, which
so
is bizarre.
So the Giants would pass on Shedeur Sanders?
Right. Which is, there's so many odd things about this. Because Abdul Carter, you've mentioned many times, we don't know about his health. The Giants are already paying millions and millions of dollars to defensive linemen. And then the Browns have Myles Garrett, too. Why would they take a defensive lineman? So Abdul Carter is an odd fit. I mean, honestly, I'm sure New England sitting at four would be over the moon if Abdul Carter fell. But it does feel, I mean, if I don't know. When the mock drafts come out this week, it's going to be Cam Ward 1, Travis Hunter 2, and Abdul Carter 3, probably. Because, I mean, it just doesn't feel like the Giants and Shedeur are married, which I don't understand exactly.
I think that there's been a directive from ownership to find the quarterback of the future. Now, whether or not that's a smart thing for ownership to have said from the New York Giants, that is what they said. So are you going to defy that? Are you going to convince John Mara not to take Shedeur Sanders because you have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston holding the fort? And then you're going to, what, do this all again next year with maybe a different coach and maybe a different general manager? Everything feels very backwards here.
The giant way, baby.
For the Giants. Now, here's one thing while you talk about the giant way. What really was the identity of the Giants when things are going very well for them? Defense. Their defensive line. I know that Eli Manning won Super Bowl MVP in beating Tom Brady, but that defensive line, the NASCAR line, those guys won that Super Bowl. Okay? Two of them. It was the Justin Tucks and the O.C. Umenyoras and Strahan. Those are the guys who are responsible for in that Super Bowl. Eli and David Tyree have the all-time, you know, connection. And then the Plaxico Burress and Mario Manningham. And we know the offensive guys. But those were low-scoring games where the defense held Tom Brady in check. The identity of the Giants when things are going well, which they've gotten away from, is defense. So for them to take Abdul Carter is actually not that crazy, even though they've invested in that line a lot.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's exactly that, or that just Abdul Carter is head and shoulders above Shedeur Sanders as an NFL prospect. I think that's kind of the bottom line. If Abdul Carter was perfectly healthy, I wonder if Cleveland would have a different calculus here. Assuming Cleveland goes Travis Hunter, the odds say I'm seeing for number two, Carter is the -110 favorite to go number three. So he's kind of chalk right now. I just think he's a generational player. Remember we started this whole thing, the Titans said, we're not going to pass on a generational player just to fill a need. I think they were talking about Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. Then they sort of evolved and realized Cam Ward was awesome too. Yeah. So, but Abdul Carter feels like a Myles Garrett type. That's what I think. We saw him in the college football playoffs. Amazing. How could you pass on him for a quarterback who's a Kirk Cousins type?
Well, because if you're worried about his foot, you know, if you're worried about Abdul Carter, and if that foot isn't, he's not getting surgery on it, but if you think he eventually will need surgery, we've talked to world-renowned foot doctor Rock Positano enough times to know once you cut on a foot, you could be opening yourself up to a world of problems.
He wasn't so panicked about Abdul Carter's foot, though. Said it, they stabilized it the right way. So maybe that'll happen. The other thing, too, is, and I saw this report about the Giants, Jeremy Fowler said there's a league view that signing Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston was a message that they weren't possibly going to go quarterback.
I mean, I don't know how that's a message. Like, it's these two guys are clear stopgaps.
That's what Jeremy said.
Yeah. No, I guess. Do you get the fan base off your back? I doubt it.
Well, they just open up the possibility if there's an all-time generational pick sitting there that they don't have to take a quarterback. I kind of lean with you. I'm like, Russell Wilson, that's a reason not to take a quarterback. But at least it opens up the possibility there's somebody in the room besides Tommy DeVito if they want to take somebody else. It gives them options.
And Jameis is like fun to watch, but he's like a joke, you know?
I think he's a super high-end backup. I mean, he's a very high-end backup who they got at a reasonable price.
Green beans.
But it's just like, you know, some part of Jameis, it's like the turnovers are so blatant.
He cut down a little bit in Cleveland.
Because I have the eye of a tiger.
And, you know, he's a quote machine. And he even said he wants to go to New York because it's good exposure for him. It's like, that's not what I want to hear.
Didn't he throw 4 picks and 4 touchdowns in one game last year?
Yes, in the snow, I think. That was
sweet potato.
That was a Denver game, right? The Denver game on Thursday night. He threw like for 1 million yards and 1 million touchdowns. Also threw all those picks.
That's the Jameis experience. Like, you can't actually expect to be winning games. 888-710-4ISN. So we're unpacking everything from the weekend that happened with all the football news and how it impacts the draft. And then the question is, if the Browns now, according to reports, are leaning Travis Hunter, the Giants would be set up to pick either Abdul Carter or Shador. Mm-hmm. And then if they take Abdul Carter, how far does Shador fall? Probably pretty far.
Well, he's odds on to go number 9 to New Orleans. He's become a heavy favorite there.
But that'd be smart of them.
But where did this... It's so funny. Do we have to adjust as an NFL world the idea of Shador being in New Orleans? I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. We've been thinking about him in Cleveland and New York. Would that be smart? Like, does New Orleans have talent? If you're Dion, are you excited about New Orleans? I would say it's kind of a mixed bag because there's no receivers at all.
Yeah, you might like Kellen Moore, though. And, you know, as an offensive...
That's good. It's indoors.
Head coach. And then, you know, you sit behind Derek Carr for a year. Probably not the worst guy to learn from.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But New Orleans could sure use some other positions at that draft. They're pretty empty.
That is true. 888-710-4ISN. So that's just a little bit of the latest. And what do you think about the Browns now leaning Travis Hunter? That is the word on the street. And Dion getting into it with a scout from the Denver Broncos. Perloff, you think this is the number one story with Shador is Dion's involvement.
Well, that's what my question is. If his dad wasn't Deion Sanders, would he go higher or lower? Because I think if you look at Shador, I know there's so many different takes on him as a football player, but he was super effective at Colorado. If Bo Nix and Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy can be top 12 picks,
yeah,
then I think Shador Sanders can be. But if you're a team, if you were a coach, would you want Dion looking over your shoulder? Because it could happen.
I'd have to believe in myself as a coach and believe in Shador as a prospect. I would. Like, I'd have to believe in myself as a coach that I would be able to weather that storm, get the most out of him. Because if I really think Shador is going to take me where I need to go, then Dion's going to be a non-factor.
Yeah, that seems idealistic. Also, the fact that Dion's a successful college coach, like Jackson Dart's dad's on a successful college coach. He's right. He's not gonna take your job. I think there's a lot of fear with Dion. But I hear you. I mean, Dion is totally awesome. Honestly, an owner probably might like Dion more than you. That's not good.
I'm going to hug him.
888-710-4ISN. Again, we get back to college hoops in a moment. Congratulations, UConn women back at the top of the mountain. And Gino Auriemma just extends his lead in terms of titles, an all-time winningest head coach, and passes John Wooden, who had 11 titles, Pearl. And now Gino Auriemma has 12. We'll talk about whether Gino is the greatest college coach of all time. But first, movie sequels. Get you going on a Monday morning. Guys, can you believe it? The Final Four over the weekend in the Maggie and Perloff movie sequel bracket, and we will have our own championship game tonight. Let's get you some Final Four results, shall we? All chalk in the Maggie and Perloff movie sequel bracket. Congratulations to The Godfather 2, who snuck by The Dark Knight, and down goes the number one overall seed in this tournament.
Your father respected Ayman Roth, but your father never trusted Ayman Roth or his Sicilian messenger boy, Johnny Ola. Ma dove scusato? Io sono stanco, sono biliato. And I want everybody here to know, there's not going to be no trouble for me.
There you go. Godfather 2 on to the championship game. In the other side of the Final Four, Perloff, again, one seeds all around. It is Star Wars Empire Strikes Back with an easy victory over Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements. It could be smugglers, it could
be... That is the system. And I'm sure Skywalker is with them. Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
Admiral.
Wow.
I just love whatever they say, Hoth and Maggie trying to wrap her head around pronouncing that the right way.
Hoth.
I'm sorry. See, I would have thought a blind spot when it comes to Star Wars.
I'm more of a Dagobah system guy, where Yoda lived.
I've heard that about you.
No, you are a. I'd say you have a sci-fi fantasy.
Like,
you found
spot.
Lord of the Rings boring, as I recall.
Very expensive naps. Yeah. All three of those movies.
I'm sure.
That's crazy.
Doesn't seem like you're a big Avatar fan.
No, didn't like that one. Didn't see the second one. I did watch Game of Thrones. That a little sci-fi, some dragons.
No, that's true. Then if you like that, how can you not like Lord of the Rings? That was sort of old-timey Game of Thrones.
Gosh, these fight scenes would just never end. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
I'm not crazy about Lord of the Rings either.
Orcs. You guys don't like Lord of the Rings? Oh, my God.
A little boring to me.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Just die already or live. I don't care. Do something. Get a ring. What of the Gollum? I just didn't like it. Anyway, Lord of the Rings not here. Godfather 2 and Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. Do you consider Star Wars, like I was thinking Dark Knight is a superhero movie. Star Wars not superhero movie. It's sci-fi.
Sci-fi. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a major beef with you guys, by the way, about Godfather.
Why?
Massive beef.
What's that?
Shout out to Godfather 1 and fair and square, close race. We and Pearl have been arguing who win Dark Knight or Godfather.
Yeah.
Last week, there was a conversation about a clip that was played.
Yeah.
That was allegedly not from Godfather Part 2.
It was.
Oh, is that a flashback?
There's a flashback scene in Godfather Part 2.
Oh, at the end?
At the end of the movie that I played last week.
Okay,
I heard the allegation.
Oh, you're so right. Wait. That was the flashback. And I said, but I did say there was a flashback with James Caan in the second one. I actually said that.
But so was it actually in the first one too?
No.
They brought back James Caan for one scene of Godfather 2 at the very, very end. You're right. But by the way, spoiler, EJ, you gave up the last scene.
Wow.
You guys said it wasn't in the movie.
Came out in 1974.
I mean, I had to say that because I've been getting all this crap about how I don't know anything about Godfather and I should know all these mob movies. I gave you guys a big flashback scene and it's like, this isn't in Godfather 2. And I was like, well, I don't know. Is this what it said on YouTube?
The question is it going to make you watch any of these movies? Now that we are here and Godfather 2 just beat Dark Knight, which I know you love Dark Knight.
Yes.
Will you go with the public here? Like, wow, this movie has got to be pretty awesome if it just beat Dark Knight.
It's like I keep saying, I don't think that these movies aren't great. I'm not into mob movies, so I'm not running to them. I will say, like, I feel like I've watched this movie because I've cut now 8 clips, I feel like, of the show.
Yeah.
But the clips are awesome. I mean, the acting's amazing. The scenes are incredible. Even though I don't know, like, the plot per se.
Right.
I am more invested and more interested in wanting to eventually see it. But, again, it's got to be one of the things where, like, it's on TV. And it's like, it's on there. I'll go watch it now.
You're the only person I've ever met who's not into any kind of organized crime movies. Maybe not the mob, but like that's like what makes movies good. You need a cartel. You need something. Like that's the coolest kind of movies. All the cool movies are crime movies or mob movies.
Well, according to you.
According to everybody. No, I mean, this is not, I don't think this is up for debate. I mean, who else is not into mob movies?
Well, here's the thing. I see them and I'll watch them, but I'm not running to rewatch. Like I didn't rewatch The Sopranos. I'm good on Goodfellas.
Crazy.
I do love Godfather 2, though.
There's
so many bad movie
takes getting thrown around right now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting married to somebody who definitely is not into mob movies. Like, I don't think she's ever watched these movies either.
Well, maybe it's more of a male-female thing. I mean,
possible.
Most men are into mob movies.
Yeah.
My mom loves mob movies, though. Elisa, my mom, Elisa Stewart, she loves Scarface, loves Godfather, and Penn State
football. People get blown away with in a mob heist.
That's a good time for my mom.
Well, listen, I like it. She's a multifaceted person. Okay, you can go vote right now. National championship game in the movie sequel bracket is now open. The Godfather 2 against Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. All-time great movie scores as well. Just everything about these movies is just dynamite.
Are you guys surprised that Terminator got destroyed the way it did? The first matchup was very close, but not Terminator 2.
I mean, it's going against Empire Strikes Back. It's an all-time movie. It's probably arguably the best Star Wars movie.
I'm a little surprised that Godfather 2 won just because, again, it came out in the 70s.
Yeah, but if you
beating
say...
Dark Knight, which came out in 2008.
I think it's the structure because it was in the second Batman movie. I keep coming back to that. It was a sequel. I'll give you that, but I mean... Off the top of your head, if it was called Batman 2, then maybe it would add a better chance. Also, Godfather 2, only two have ever won the Oscar, Godfather 2 and Lord of the Rings 2.
So EJ had to look up all these movie clips to do this whole tournament. You said now that you've looked up 8 different clips from The Godfather 2, it's making you want to watch it a little bit more. Can you say the same thing for Caddyshack 2?
He didn't cut 8 clips for Caddyshack 2.
Can
you actually just remove this whole segment from the podcast?
What about Naked Gun 2.5?
That I will watch. Do want to watch because those clips are funny. Every single one I've watched. Now, that went on a Cinderella one, so I had to watch multiple ones. Like, Caddyshack 2 only got 1 clip. It was funny, but it was like, it was only one. Naked Gun 2.5, I've actually seen a lot of clips now because they went to the Lee 8. And I'm invested. I want to see this new one with Liam Neeson. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The reboot?
I'm into it.
That reboot's going to stink.
Have you ever seen Naked Gun, the first one?
No.
Not familiar with any of the Naked Guns, apparently.
They're good movies. 888-710.
I was born in 1991, people.
I'm just curious. You don't like mom movies. You don't like sci-fi fantasy.
We know what he likes.
What genre? No, Maggie. I'm saying you. What genres do you like besides absurdist comedy?
We know that EJ likes Marvel.
What are your
genres?
I know you don't like rom-coms.
Not a huge fan.
So you're not a fan of sci-fi. You're not a fan of fantasy. You don't like mom movies. You're not a fan of rom-coms.
Dumps.
I know you like absurdist comedies. What are the other kinds?
That's pretty much it.
I
was thinking the other day about other movies I wanted sequels to. I'm like, they never made a sequel to What About Bob?
My name is Jeff.
That's a good one.
What About Bob have so much more ground to cover?
I think so. They left some meat on the bone there. No, I just...
You mean Bob's Burgers?
I guess, yeah, I know. Look it up, EJ. A little guy named Bill Murray made a couple movies. I don't know.
He was in Space Jam.
I don't know. This is why I don't watch a lot of movies.
Action movies. You like those? Like Fast and Furious?
No.
Horror. You like horror?
No,
or like
I will not
Hereditary?
Watch horror.
A documentary.
I think all of them are skewed.
I don't think you're a movie person.
I think I'm not a movie person.
Yeah. Wait. Animation. You like animated movies?
I do not.
Western. How about Westerns? 3:10 to Yuma?
No, I've seen a couple John Wayne movies. I've seen a couple Clint Eastwoods. I've seen Tombstone.
This is crazy. You are really anti-genres. But you like by the way, full disclosure, you always come in and say, I watched this movie and I liked it.
Yeah.
You just generally are not
into
these.
I need a
good
story. Give me a good story. How about that?
Your life on the line. What's your favorite movie? Go. 5, 4, 3, 2.
It might be Godfather 2.
All right.
Godfather 2? Really? I thought Godfather 1's a little better, in my opinion. But really? That's your favorite movie of all time?
It might be. It's up there. I'm trying to think of the movies I've watched the most.
It's a long list of 3 movies.
Yeah, I don't know. Fight Club?
Oh, that's another good one.
It's a great movie.
I've seen Goodfellas 275 times.
I have also. But
I can't believe anybody who doesn't love that movie. It's just crazy to me. It's insane.
It
sounds
bad about myself.
Literally like it just doesn't compute at all. Because it's just pure 2 hours of entertainment.
You know what movie I think you would really like? The Rush Hour movies.
I've seen them. I've seen the first 2. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. But enough about me.
If you've seen the one joke, you've seen all of them.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you understand?
That's a good movie.
888-710-4ISN. So there you go. We're talking a little about how far could Shedeur Sanders fall if you have the Browns now leaning towards Travis Hunter, according to reports. If the Giants take Abdul Carter, well, now what? And then secondly, you can vote on the National Championship of Movie Sequels, Godfather 2 against Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. You can go to @MaggieandPearl, and you can go vote. We have a lot more to get to, including UConn back on the mountaintop. So what does this mean for Gino Auriemma in terms of all-time greatest coaches? And of course, we have a lot to get to before tonight's national championship game. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I put out on my X feed, Maggie, give me some player comps for Cooper Flagg, the Duke star. Scored 27 points in the final game. I think we both agree he was up and down. A semifinal game. Up and down. Had some great moments, especially earlier in the game. Missed his last shot, which I don't kill him for at all. LeBron and MJ missed a million last second shots.
No, MJ never missed a shot.
I know. But generally, I thought he had some plays. There was one dunk earlier. I was like, oh my God. He is ready for the NBA right now. And there was a lefty hook that was crazy, too.
Yeah, he's clearly skilled. The problem with Flagg in that national semifinal where they lose to Houston, who's going to play Florida tonight in the national championship game, is that he also couldn't put the team on his back when they went beyond cold. When Houston was making them so uncomfortable, there was no, and Houston starts closing the gap and closing the gap and closing the gap. It felt like Flag, along with everyone else, was kind of helpless. Now, there was a terrible over the back call called on him. If they let them play on, maybe this is a totally different game. I thought it was that monumental of a play, but or a bad foul call. But, you know, Flag also just, I'm not saying he disappeared. That's not it. But he couldn't elevate his team when they're watching the lead dwindle from 14 to 9 to 6. And then ultimately it was a 9-0 run by Houston close it out.
But this is an NBA conversation. Does anybody in the NBA not fly to the podium to take that? Like, does it denigrate his draft status at all? Even 0.00001%?
No, it doesn't. But I'd love to hear the draft comps, because if you're taking a guy number one overall and someone who's as highly touted as Cooper Flag, you're thinking, all right, could he be the focal point of a championship team? So with that in mind, give us the comps that you're seeing on social.
Grant Hill, I totally get that.
Yeah.
Grant Hill probably would have won an NBA title if he could have stayed healthy, maybe. But not quite. He could, but Tyler Hansbrough, I don't get that at all. Because I actually read this just to see if how many white guy and white guy was.
I was going to say, Tyler Hansbrough, I don't get that.
Psycho T.
Hansbrough couldn't shoot from the outside.
No.
Decent mid-range, but not a three-point shooter.
Well, and Flag's got a little mid-range in him, which is interesting. Rasheed Wallace, I don't see that at all. Wallace grew up in the back-to-the-basket era.
Rasheed's 6'11".
Yeah. Well, Cooper Flag could end up being close to that. But Keith Van Horn, I knew that was coming. He shoots a little like Keith Van Horn.
Why'd you think that was coming?
What do they have in common?
Maybe Keith Van Horn went, number two overall? He was a tournament star. He was actually pretty athletic in college, but besides point. Here's what I like, and I'm curious if you guys agree with this.
Okay.
Passes like old man LeBron on drives, and that's a compliment. He has incredible core vision. I actually thought of LeBron watching him play on Saturday night.
But LeBron was a good passer even a young LeBron.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, I know.
He's an old man LeBron.
Yeah. Well, now LeBron especially passes on drives because he can't finish all the time. I think he's got great court vision, which makes him a potentially great player. That's what I see the most. Like those guys, some guys just see the court. Magic, Larry, LeBron. I think he might see the court like that, and that's why I think there is a championship upside. And then somebody responded that he's got the LeBron clutch gene, that's for sure.
Oh damn.
Come on, man. LeBron has four titles.
Yeah, right.
You guys know what
we got to let that go.
Yeah. Oh, I hit a nerve there. But that was Hollywood Fish on Twitter.
Well, it'd be funny if you said it's got the James Harden clutch gene. Now, that would be hilarious because Harden's whole MO is coming up small in game sixes and game sevens.
That dude's still living in 2010.
Yeah, but there was a decade of killing LeBron for not having the clutch gene. That was a thing for 10 years in our lives.
But he played for another decade.
But I also thought of, but Cooper Flagg just turned 18 on December.
I know, it's crazy.
And
he's
all
so
of a sudden,
young.
And somebody on this show specifically said, Duke is bad in late games and Cooper Flagg's bad in late games.
Yep.
EJ.
He's got to get better at that.
Yeah, EJ, you would have been all over LeBron for the same thing. Like, they were killing LeBron until he was about 27, which is when you win NBA titles. So anyway, the point, Cooper Flagg's 18. This guy's upside is insane. Who cares if he wins in this game?
No, this is definitely going to stick more with John Shire than it will Flag. Flag's going to go on and be the number one pick. And as you've rightly pointed out, you don't have to have tournament success. It's not a predictor of what your NBA career is going to be like. Now,
major downside. If you're good in the tournament, that means you're old, and that means the NBA does not want you. Look at the mock drafts. It's all guys who've been home for a month.
Yeah, maybe we'll disagree about that and maybe what the future looks like for NBA scouting, because guys are staying in college longer for all different types of reasons, most notably them getting paid.
That's interesting.
And we could talk about how that might change as we move forward, but it's not a predictor of NBA success.
Yeah, because I'll tell you right now, I will kill anyone in this room to get Dylan Harper on the Sixers, and that dude was 500 in college.
Well, not making the tournament is not great. Either.
No, it's great. It's pretty great.
Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, those guys weren't great. But
former
anyway.
Sixers.
What's that?
Anthony Edwards is pretty good.
Anthony Edwards is great. So, but here's the thing. John Shire, this sticks with a lot more. Because, A, you may never have a team like this again. Maybe you will.
Yeah, next year.
Well, we'll see. And is that a good thing, right? Because you're always saying you can't win with freshmen. But then the other part is, like, Shire's now is back-to-back pretty devastating losses. The one last year to NC State was bad, and this one is horrible. There's no other way to slice it. You're up 14 with 803. You're up 9 with 206. You're up 6 with 34 seconds. Kelvin Sampson and his defense schooled you. And the guys got tight, which is also on you. So it's like, you know, Shire really, he's the one who takes the brunt of this.
He's pretty young. Are you willing to give him time to grow? He's 37.
Definitely. But this is how, so maybe next year he gets to the national championship game and then we'll see what happens. I don't know. But all I also know is that you can't take this stuff for granted. And he had a great team. They were the odds on favorite to win. They had the lead. That's the biggest part. You got to close that game out.
I mean,
easy for me to say.
It's been a while for Duke. It's been a long time. It's been a decade now since they've won this thing or even been in the title game. So there's something that's a little off. They're still the team in college basketball, but I don't know if Shire wins a title in the next 5 years.
Well, it's funny because we talked about whether the mystique of these college programs matters anymore, right?
Right.
Because is it just all about the money now?
Well,
Duke is going to be an interesting litmus test here. So is North Carolina.
Yeah, but Duke got Cooper Flagg and hadn't won a title in 9 years. So
that's fine. But Cooper Flagg is one thing. Are they going to get the next guy?
Well, next year they did pretty good, right? Yeah. You mean they got 2 years?
Well, right. They get the Boozer Twins.
Yeah.
They lost, but they did lose that AJ kid who's going to Utah to BYU. But that is a complicated situation, right?
Yeah. It wasn't that complicated. They gave him $60 million, $6 million. And he said, all right, where do I sign? Money. I thought it was 66.
Doesn't he have a connection to wait, where does he play?
Oh, they transferred him to Utah Prep, I think is the school.
Okay. Oh, so that's the only reason he's in Utah.
Yeah, that's the only reason why he's there. Yeah.
But that's the thing, like the mystique of these programs, is it gonna continue to exist in the era of, well, what's the price? How much are you paying me?
You could argue Duke gives you so much more exposure to marketing deals too, because Duke will always be the number one TV.
Yeah, but number one guys don't need that. Again, Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper playing at Rutgers University. How many national games did they have?
I probably hurt them money-wise. I mean, Zion and Cooper
Flagg. They're still going to go in the top five. What does it matter?
Well, I think Cooper has made much more in NIL than those guys. That's what I'm saying.
Well, the guys only went to Rutgers because of NIL.
But Cooper obviously made more. I saw $6 million, not $4 million last year.
Okay, but he could be one of one. These other guys are still getting paid a lot, and they don't need the Duke machine to get them drafted.
If all things are equal, Duke has a ton of money. If all things are equal, would you, maybe if it's an equal playing field where everybody can offer $5 million or $8 million for the best guy, would you lean Duke over another program? I think you will. I think they'll still get massive recruits. And by the way, I saw something on their NIL fund. They are not hurting. They're going to get a lot of players.
I'm sure. 888-710-4ISN. Bogus has headlines for us. Hello.
Guys, by no means is this the most important thing this morning, but I'm playing it now for my mental health.
Vesia deals in the pitch. Blasted high and deep left field, and that is gone! Castellanos greets Vesia with his eighth career grand slam.
I was basically bullied into giving you the Philly score. Scott Fransky on Phil's radio. Nick Castellanos, the grand slam, gave Philly a big early lead that they squandered. They took the rubber game with the Dodgers 8-7 on an RBI fielder's choice in the seventh. Now, before that loss, LA put lefty Blake Snell on the IL with shoulder inflammation. The Red Sox thumped the Cardinals 18-7 on Sunday Night Baseball to sweep two at Fenway and extend their winning streak to five. Rafael Devers, 4-for-4, drove in three and scored four times. And Vlad Guerrero Jr. staying in Toronto for a while. It's a record 14-year extension worth $500 million. No deferrals, and because of that, this deal has a higher present-day value than Shohei Ohtani's.
My salary has a higher present day value than Shohei Ohtani's.
If it does, I quit.
Wait, Juan Soto has no deferrals either, right? So it's not even.
Yeah, so this is now the second biggest guarantee.
Is this the second biggest contract? Okay.
Right. But Ohtani's says $700 million, but it's only like $480 million because of all the deferrals. This is straight up $500 million.
I'm surprised it was, 270-something million less than Soto?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's crazy.
And I know that Vlad Guerrero is not the player that Soto is, but they're both not great fielders. They're both not great base runners. It's just Soto's had way more success and is 1 year younger. That's a $200 million difference. I was surprised it was that big.
I mean, it just be me. I think the body type also has something to do with that.
Oh, Vlad's a little.
Is he going to break down as he gets older?
Yeah, I
don't know. They're supposed to have 14 years.
Yeah, but it's not as much money. But you're right. It's 14 years, but yeah. It's not as much money.
That's
Dude
true.
Dude just made $500 million. We're talking like they got a bargain. That is a big number.
Yeah, but you
got
to take, you know, the Canadian exchange rate and all that stuff. It's really like 4.96 or something.
And you include the tariffs, and that changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, sheesh. I'm surprised he signed this.
Hopefully men's March Madness has a more dramatic finish than the women's finale yesterday afternoon. UConn with that 82-59 destruction of South Carolina in Tampa for the 12th title in program history, but the first in 9 years. Dawn Staley, very blunt in defeat.
We lost to a very, very good basketball team. They beat our ass, but they didn't make us like it.
23 points matching the third largest margin of victory in women's title game
I've never
history.
Seen someone take an ass whooping worse than Dawn Staley on that bench yesterday.
She will not give an inch, you know? And, like, obviously, she was very deferential. They would say UConn was a great team, but, yeah.
During the game, it was like they're down 21 and a mistake happens. And she's still acting like the game's on the line. She's like, what the hell are we doing? She was incredulous at that loss yesterday.
No, she and Gino have a big rivalry.
Yeah, she doesn't like not like losing to that man.
Steph Curry scored just 3 points last night. The Warriors' five-game win streak ending with a 106-96 home loss to the Rockets.
Tonight's was a rough night all the way around. They played great. We had some moments, but, you know, got to maintain the confidence that we're building towards our best selves come playoff time.
Man, NBA late season action. Just catch it. It's awesome.
Curry shot 1-for-10 after scoring 125 points over his previous three games. Golden State is currently sixth in the West, winning a three-way tie with Minnesota and Memphis. The Kings were 120-113 winners in Cleveland, making the Cavs wait to clinch number one in the East. Sacramento up to ninth in the West, a half game ahead of Dallas. And the Pacers gave the Nuggets their fourth loss in a row, 125-120 in Denver. The Nuggets now a game and a half behind the Lakers for the four seed. The Montreal Canadiens pushed their win streak to 5-2-1 to Nashville. They have a six-point lead now on the field for the last wild card spot in the East. And Messi scored in first half stoppage time as Inter Miami drew 1-1 with Toronto. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks. Everyone is asking the wrong question about Gino Auriemma and UConn. We'll tell you what the right question to be asking is on the day after they won the national championship. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. Actually, got some music news for you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In just a moment, but I'll get to the question that nobody is asking about Gino Auriemma and UConn after they won their 12th national title. We'll get to that in a second because everyone's got this conversation all wrong. James is in LA, though, wants to weigh in our question. How far could Shedeur Sanders fall after the Browns are now leaning, according to reports, leaning towards Travis Hunter, and the Giants could have Abdul Carter just sitting right there? James, what do you think, sir?
Hey, what's up, people? Love the show as always. Yeah, I was going to say, if they followed by Raiders at six, would they still take a chance on him? I know the relationship between him and Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady's been teaching him throws since he was, what, 5 or 6 years old? So there is a relationship there. That doesn't mean he's going to take him, though. So I'm wondering, if he falls there, would he be there for the future? And also, Maggie, with you, Godfather 2 is probably the best movie I could think of. And in that case, is it better than the original one? Because the original one is based kind of on a true story. You know, Johnny Fontaine is supposed to be Frank Sinatra and all of that, and it goes down the line. But also, Godfather 2, Meyer Lansky is supposed to be the guy that was helping him.
Yeah, Hyman Roth was supposed to be Meyer Lansky. Yeah. All that stuff with Cuba, like that stuff, obviously based on a true story.
Is it better than the original?
I don't think so. James. I think the original. Brando's iconic at its first.
Right. But this is the only time you get De Niro and Pacino in a movie other than Heat that I see. And these are two of the greatest actors, in my opinion, of the last 50 years, you know.
I mean, it's funny. You get iconic lines in both, right? Because you got the, leave the gun, cannoli, take the cannolis. Yeah. From the first one, and then the second one is, you know, Fredo, I knew it was you, and you broke my heart. Yeah.
To me, it's the more we talk about it, it's Godfather 1.
Because of Brando? But
wow.
You get De Niro and Pacino.
The book is basically Godfather 1. It's like, it was Mario Puzo's original book. It was just perfect from start to finish. You had James Caan.
Yes. I just think so. He's only in half the movie,
though. Yeah, Tessio. Oh, my God. He has so many amazing.
Sleeps with the Fishes. That's
Yeah, I mean, Godfather 2 is incredible. I just, for me, Godfather 1, and again, just going back to the whole debate, the first one gets a little more credit because it was first. You're building off of it. So maybe that's not fair.
But one of the guys that taught all of them was the guy that played, what's his name? The Meyer Lansky character?
Hyman Roth.
He taught them. Yeah. He taught them in real life.
Lee Strasberg.
Lee Strasberg.
Yeah.
He was this iconic actor guy.
So he's
they
the coach.
Looked up to him. They looked up to him as far as, you know, teaching, man. So I don't know. It's a story going back and forth.
But no, it's a good debate. You know who else is in it? The guy who played Junior Soprano, I believe, is in Godfather 2.
Dominic Chianese,
I think he has a role. We've got to double check that. So,
Danny Aiello's in Godfather 1. So he's the one that choked out. He's the one that choked out. What's the guy's name? He choked him
Talia Shire's husband. Yep.
Yeah. He had that little role of choking out that guy. Fantagoline.
There you go, James.
James. Way to go deep into the IMDb here. Listen, he was mistreating Talia Shire.
Wait, can we get a comment? Sorry. Thank you, James. To answer the Raiders question.
Yeah.
I keep coming back to one thing, and you kind of tried to talk me out of it last week, and you might have been slightly effective. They can't draft Shedeur Sanders at number 6 because they need somebody to either catch the ball or run the ball. You said Tom Brady never had anybody and made them great, but I'm not sure Shedeur is enough. The Raiders cannot take Shedeur Sanders because they need that pick at so many other positions. They're so thin. It's not just their skill position. They could use all kinds of, they need defensive players too. They need everything. So to take Shedeur, the opportunity cost is gigantic.
Yeah, so what I was saying is that before Tom Brady got Randy Moss, like he really, you know, no disrespect to Deion Branch and Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Corey Dillon or whatever, but like it's not like Belichick put all these amazing receivers. Brady made these guys amazing.
But he didn't even make them amazing.
He made them serviceable. Yeah. Winners. He made them champions. How about that? Except for Gronkowski, who's obviously going to walk into the Hall of Fame.
And they have Brock Bowers. I just think that this particular team, they're going to sit at number six. If you take Shedeur, you are really thin on talent, and you're not. You don't have a lot around Shedeur.
Yeah, but and listen, they signed Geno, so they've got Geno as like the stopgap. I couldn't see them also taking Ashton Jeanty. I don't think that Brady's going to go that high with a running back. I don't. And even though Pete Carroll had a lot of success with Marshawn Lynch, who was obviously traded over from Buffalo, right? Was it Buffalo to Seattle or Buffalo to Oakland to Seattle?
Buffalo, Seattle.
Buffalo, Seattle. Right. So he obviously understands how effective and how much a running back can change your team, but I don't see them taking Jeanty that high. I think they're going to go more trenches and something probably a little bit more boring, or Shedeur.
You're pretty confident Jeanty will be there.
Six?
Yeah, I mean, Jeanty's not, according to most draft people, don't think he's getting out of the top 10, so Jacksonville 5 could be in the Jeanty business.
I'll tell you who I think is the Shedeur, the secret Shedeur team, and it's not so secret. It's EJ's New York Jets. I don't think they can help themselves. They keep saying all these nice things about Justin Fields, and that's fine, and they gave him $30 million, which is not much for a quarterback, but I think they can't help it. There is something about their ownership where they love the drama, the circus, the shiny object, whatever you want to call Shedeur. And he's also a great player, so it's not just that, but they're tantalized by the fame. It's just who the Jets are.
I have trouble seeing that because, so Justin Fields is $20 million this year. Not a lot of money, you're right. But I feel like they're excited about Justin Fields. Maybe it's because most of the Jets fans in my life are like, yeah, let's give this a shot. So I don't know. Is Shedeur a better prospect than Justin Fields at 25? How old is Justin Fields? 25, 26?
Yeah, I think he's 26.
Yeah, I don't totally see it.
I think they would love this idea. All of a sudden, that would become one of the biggest stories in the NFL. This training camp battle or whatever between Shedeur and Fields, or maybe Fields just starts and Shedeur sits. But even still, then it's like, all right, if Fields struggles, when does Shedeur get in? I think the Jets love this. They would love it. They would love it. And I think they'll convince themselves that their defense is good, and they've already got skill position players, and they've got the three-headed monster running back room, and like, they're talking about trading away Breece Hall. They think they're good on skill position players. So you're going to take, a tight end? Like
Oh, man, yes. If you get Tyler Warren there. It just feels funny to me that the Jets would go in on Shedeur. 23 years old, you got to play him really soon. Do they have enough talent around him? I think that's a good question.
I mean, they should probably spend it on an offensive lineman, but they would be the talk of the draft if they got Shedeur. And I think that matters to them because they're a poorly run organization.
But I know how EJ feels because you're sick of them drafting guys who aren't going to start.
Yep.
I think Jets fans would be apoplectic? Help me out here. They would be upset.
Yeah, they would more than upset. They already are. That's just the current state. That's homeostasis for Jets fans. Just pissed.
That's the only quarterback who would get booed at the draft. They would not like this.
I think the Jets, they can't help themselves. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So much to do, including tonight's national championship game and more.